Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. I am a housewife who has not figured it out. Thank you so much for being a part of the program. We've got another fantastic recap show for you again today and a giveaway that's coming up at the end of the show, and I can't wait to tell you. It's a pretty big one, so stay tuned for that. Also on the show today, a conversation with my friends, Linda, Isaiah, our very own Padre in Your Pocket, Father Nathan Cromley as well. Talk about a powerhouse of prayer and positive feels. They are both together, and you don't want to miss what they have to say. And as I was kind of moderating, hosting this conversation, I thought this should so be a show. These two are so dynamic. So this beautiful pastor friend of mine, this awesome monk, holy man of God, I think you're going to agree. So we will get to that as well this episode. Feedback from Arise, the retreat that was born and bloomed through this show, thanks to you. And again, it's an effort to fold you into the weekend, to bring you along for a mini virtual retreat. So we'll get to that feedback. This is kind of the day two recap, as promised. It's a bonus show for you this week. And I was hoping to do one more, but that didn't happen. So two out of three ain't bad, as Meatloaf says. And now that song's going to be stuck in my head. But we're going to get to that as well. And a Brooke's house. We're going to get to that as well. A little bit of everything today. So let's get her done. Let's jump in, shall we? Say our opening prayer as we do in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, this day is a gift. We pause in gratitude. This day will hold much, whether we realize it or not. Help us not to miss the hidden messages, your living word in us. Speak to us, Heavenly Father, in the events of this day. We know your mercies are new every morning, and we praise you, God, for your faithfulness. Help us to fall in love with you again today, Lord. Amen.
Well, the mail must go through. The mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through. I said the mail.
Hi, Brooke. It's Stephanie Zimmerman from Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's the first time I'm using Voxer, so I hope I'm doing it right. I just wanted to leave you some feedback for an amazing Arise 2017 retreat. I was there last year, and it was great last year, but boy, you guys really outdid yourselves this year. It was just phenomenal. I don't even know where to begin. First of all, the accommodations made for my mother were so great, and she just really got a lot out of the retreat. We talked about it the whole way home. And Taylor's music, Father Nathan was on fire. The body work with Dr. Ann. Just so much that was so good. I can't even begin. So I'm just filled up. I'm so glad I took today off work. This is Monday, the day after, so that I could not have to go right back into the real world. Although there was much to do here at home, I still felt really connected to all of you wonderful women that I've had met last year and met more this year. And I loved the sisters who were present. Oh, I can't remember where they're from, but the sister Agnes and the other sister, they made it very special. And of course, Linda, Isaiah, but most of all you, Brooke. I don't know how you do it. I know you have a team, and all of the team was amazing, but it really is your inspiration that makes this all possible and just fills us up. So God bless you. God bless everyone whose hands were on this. And may we all continue to step out of the tomb and into the light. God bless.
Oh, Stephanie, thank you. You said it. What a weekend. Unforgettable. The Children of Mary is who you mentioned. They've been on the show actually before. Two amazing sisters sharing their testimony. All the speakers, the workshop leaders hit it out of the park and really brought tools. That's what I want to talk about now. And you touched on that a little bit, Stephanie, but the things that we can take away from the weekend. One of our attendees, Donna, this beautiful woman married 46 years to her husband, Tim, now a new widow. She's coming up on the 1-year anniversary of losing her husband. Talk about a love story from early on in their marriage, they got into Worldwide Marriage Encounter, and they did that. They really became a model mentor couple for all of these husbands and wives coming in over the ages. And what's interesting about that is Donna said, Marriage Encounter is now dying out because people are too busy. Couples don't have the time to get away and do that sort of weekend. And I thought, man, is that sad? And I can understand, because my husband and I over the years, how many times have said we want to do this and haven't, just didn't happen yet. So if you're thinking about it and on the fence, it for me gave me a renewed energy to really want to try to do that. But one of the things that Donna did was bring out this beautiful journal. Tucked inside was her wedding picture. We had a large group session, so everybody in a big circle was gathered around. And she talked about her and her husband writing letters to each other over the years. Doesn't have to be long, doesn't have to be in depth, but the power of that. Even to the last day that he died, he wrote his wife a love letter. Can you get any more beautiful than that kind of a legacy? For Christmas, they would give their children letters and they would say, all we want, their children are grown now, is for you to write us a letter. And the power of the words that remain long after that person, and what that heirloom is, that treasure that's left in their heart. So that was fantastic. And it was really neat too. She shared this technique that you go and talk about one thing maybe that you might be disappointed with each other in their marriage. And they did that. That was part of the exercise they were supposed to do. And she said the whole day they were kind of depressed, because when you read what your spouse is disappointed in, you think, man, I really blew it. And that hurts, because you want to do a good job of living up to the person as you took your vows that your husband or wife really wanted you to be. And then she said the next day you go back and you rate that disappointment. And she said for both of them, the disappointment was like a one or two. It was really weak. It was hardly even there. But all the things that they loved about each other so outnumbered anything that was a disappointment, and just how beautiful that was. And you're still taking away with something that you can work on. But I just loved the practical things. And she wasn't someone that was on the schedule to be a speaker. But that's what I love about these events, is each woman coming in with this wealth of wisdom and being able to share that. Linda Isaiah did a lot of grief recovery work. So she brought out, it was this loss history graph, which was really interesting. So it looks like a timeline. And the way it works is you have a timeline of your life with the dates and losses that were significant to you on this graph. And the deeper and longer the line, the more significant that loss. So it's something you can tell takes a lot of time, very intense, but what a powerful thing. And the thing she talked about is poorly resolved grief is going to impact our lives whether we know it or not. And so often people get to a certain point and they just don't know why. They don't feel good, or they feel lost, or they can't find themselves. And it really is about going back and addressing these things that we didn't even really know were impacting our lives and our spirits. So there was a lot to think about and take away. And she talked about never being able to carry a child, to become pregnant and have a baby, and talked about the letter that she wrote to her daughter that she never had. So there was no dry eye in the room, and I was crying and thinking, I need to write a letter to my daughter. And although we're Linda and I a little bit different, yet we're not, because there was a daughter that I thought that I was receiving. And of course, the Lord knew better what I needed in Carolina and how much more he fulfilled that. But it still doesn't look like what I thought. And how often that's our story. The expectations that we had, the framework that we placed, the ideas of how we thought things were going to go, and it didn't maybe go that way. And of course, we are just a part of the story. We're not the controller of the story. And I think we can forget that sometimes. So she was really good with that. And those were just two tools that we came away with. And it's now day two post-Arise that I'm recording this. So I'm personally still downloading everything. Like, it was uploaded to my brain and now I'm downloading it to my heart and processing it all and really just sitting with the messages. But I hope you find those points as helpful as I did. And that's not all. I'm really excited now to share this segment with you. Father Nathan Cromley, Linda Isaiah. This was recorded at the retreat house on my phone. So I know it is not the best. We had some technical difficulties, but I got it. And it's multiple people in the room here not the best acoustics, but what I do when we watch a movie is put the subtitles on. And at first the kids are groaning and like, no, this is going to take away. It's going to detract. But then no one even notices after a while. So just we'll do that with this audio. You can tell as we get into the interview that the quality isn't as great, but it's the content that matters. And I think as you listen, you won't even hear that discrepancy, I hope. So check it out now. Here is Linda Isaiah and Father Nathan Cromley.
Welcome to Good Things Radio. This is the Arise edition, a retreat recap as we walk through day two of our Good Things Radio women's retreat. And this, I hope, will be kind of a virtual retreat. If you listened yesterday, you know that we had our team in this room gather to talk about some of the takeaways, the great nuggets from welcoming all these women from across the country. And I especially want to offer this virtual retreat for those who are not today, this weekend, a part of this Divine Mercy getaway, because there's something for everybody. And I'm so blessed and honored to be joined with two of the most amazing people that I know inside and out, and speakers at our event. Our retreat master, Father Nathan Cromley, is back with us, our Padre in Your Pocket, live in the flesh, as well as my dear friend and sister Linda Isaiah.
Yes.
And wow, what a force you two are. And Father Nathan, you already spoke. So this morning you talked a little bit about the wonderful scripture and you animated it. You brought it to life in John 21, where we hear the apostles in the boat, Jesus on the shore, asking little children to lower your net. And you really talked about trust without seeing necessarily, but just hearing, hearing the voice of God and trusting that he's filling our nets. And Linda, I want to hear your perspective, or maybe even just a conversation. Could you bring that a little bit more to the listeners? Do you even remember what you said, Father Nathan?
I'll tell you what, Nathan. But I can work with it, though.
Yeah, I believe you can. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that what always fascinates me is that after the resurrection, there's times where they don't recognize Jesus. Mm-hmm. And yet, but they still know that it's the Lord. But how they know him isn't by sight. Mm-hmm. They know him by hearing, and they know him by seeing the work that he does through them. So when Peter pulls on that net and there's 153 sizable fish, he can feel with his hands the presence of God, even though he doesn't look like he recognizes him, because it says in the gospel, none of them dared to ask him, who are you? So I just think that's kind of neat to see how God works differently. He shows himself to us post-resurrection differently. And it's through what we hear and believe and what we see. And we just have to open ourselves to that and stop, or you know, not necessarily always be focusing in on, I don't see everything with total clarity.
So we need to be looking for him.
Yeah.
And we're not often looking for them, for him. And as women, we're also we're so involved in everything else instead of the main thing, which is looking for Jesus, because he's in everything.
Yes.
But we miss all of that. I got it.
We all relate to that, being little children, and the simplicity, and you talked about that as well, the simplicity of letting everything else fall away. It's not about the hoops that we jump through spiritually, and it's not about the ways that we think that we're going to earn our way to heaven, but it's a way that we simply listen in all that we do and trust him when we can't see him, and that he's in all.
Well, I think for women, we have issues with control. So we want to control everything from the time we open up our eyes to the time we go to sleep, and we're exhausted. And the reality of it is, it's an illusion, and that's where our faith comes in, because we don't trust God that he's able to do exceeding and abundantly all we can even ask, or the scripture said, think.
Yeah.
Because we're busy fixing it. You want it fixed, get your woman, because she'll fix it for you. Now she'll have to refix the fix, because she's walking, she's working out of her flesh and not out of the spirit.
Yes.
And so we don't have childlike faith.
Yes.
We don't know that it's just that simple.
Yes, to be loved as much as you're trying to love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that for me, it's one when I work with people, especially ladies, They will take care of everyone else and their self last.
Yeah.
And it's just like, because of that, they face burnout.
Yeah.
Because if you don't allow yourself to be loved and then overflow with that love, then something, eventually the water's going to run dry.
Yeah.
It was Catherine of Siena, St. Catherine of Siena, said it beautifully. She said, instead of taking the water from the well and watering the garden with it, put the bucket right in the well and let the water overflow.
Oh, I love that. That's good.
St. Teresa of Avila talks about the empty jug and how God can fill an empty jug. And when we're empty, we are disposed to hear his summons, to hear his voice. And the power of that in mercy. We are talking all about mercy this weekend. Yeah. And as you said, love as we are loved by the Father, the same thing with the extension of mercy. And I know you're going to talk a little bit about mercy in
your
workshop.
One of the things you talked about mercy, and I thought, the women that I deal with, they don't believe that God loves them that much and shows them that much mercy. Because they live under the umbrella of unworthiness, shame, and guilt. Wow. So then I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't get in touch with his compassion
right.
and his love. Therefore, I don't transmit that to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm not worthy. Well, you're not worthy in that sense, but he died for you, which makes you worthy because he's already redeemed you.
Yeah.
But the concept from my head, the 18 inches to my heart, it's hard to feel. I can think it, but I don't feel it.
Yes.
His mercy and his compassion.
Why do you suppose that is? Why don't they feel it?
I think they don't feel it because of where they come from. They didn't feel it from their parents, their grandparents. And it's
community.
Community.
Meaning if we show mercy to each other, we can be that.
Hasn't been passed on.
Yeah.
Exactly. They haven't caught it.
Yep.
And so they might have to break the cycle of the issues that go in their family so that the issues in their family so that they can begin to exhibit that mercy. Because you didn't get it don't mean you can't have it.
And I think that that's also a cue for us who know the Lord.
Yeah.
And we're like, what am I supposed to do? Instead of like, we live relationships looking at people that can give stuff to us. That woman over there, she's got it together. I want to go over to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then we left the one that's kind of the broken one over there staying broken instead of realizing we're supposed to be going towards that person, and you say, what am I supposed to do? Show them love.
That's right.
You know, because if they could feel that love through us, they could feel Christ's love.
That's right.
The problem isn't that God loves you. It's what are you going to do about it? God loves you. He always has. He always will. You are his.
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it? That's the question you asked that I wrote down in your talk, Father Nathan. And I just love that challenging question to ponder. What are we going to do about it? How is that love going to sear our heart, affect our personality? And I think you said last night, we're always influenced by something. It's just, what is it? What is it? What's, whose voice are we hearing?
Yeah,
we're always hearing a voice.
I say to women, don't you want more? There's more.
Yeah. Right.
There's always more.
Right.
But you got to want it. You have the position. You're in the position to receive it.
There's so many women that say, I don't even know what I want anymore. How do we find that?
You find it by asking and crying out to God. And like I said to some women, this you're right for it right now. We're setting you up. But you got to seize it, Father.
Yeah.
You can't sit here and just, well, poor me, poor. No. You got to know you have an issue and you've got to fight to get better.
Yeah.
So you're in the position. Now seize it. Go to your room. Cry out to God. Say, Lord, have mercy. Show me.
Right.
Teach me. Send me somebody to walk alongside me. I don't know how to love my husband. Send me a sister that will show me how to. And be obedient to it.
That's
yield
right.
to it.
That's right.
Say yes.
There's a work to receive mercy.
That's it. I like
it.
Yes. There's, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And I think that that's, we don't take that step because for whatever reason.
I like
but
that.
I don't think we think we have to.
Yeah.
Because God treats us with so much freedom. He wants us to be us. It was St. Augustine who said it this way. God made you without you, but he does not redeem you without you. It's an incredible way of putting it. He made you without you. But that act of redemption, that motion back to God, you
got
to do something.
You have to do something.
Yep.
You have a responsibility because you're a free moral agent, and he's waiting. The work is done. You just have to yield to it. And I was talking to somebody and said, but you don't want to yield. You don't want to say yes, so then you get fractured. And you know what it is when you're fractured. You're just kind of everywhere.
Right.
You never know what direction you're going in. But if you would go on and yield, he'll speak to you so clearly.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be just like the nose on your face.
Well, and part of that, I think, too, is being able to take off the blinders and open up our ears. And I was reading this incredible book. I talked about it in the first recap that was recommended to me, and I can't get enough of it because we're on retreat and I'm reading it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jean Vanier, not Jean Valjean from Les Mis. This is actually a French philosopher. And he has an entire book. He founded what's called the ARC, which is a group, a ministry for special needs. And he talks about this young man, Didier, this French young man with Down syndrome. And he took them on retreat. These beautiful, wonderful people who their entire lives were rejected by their community, by the stigma of disability, especially in, you know, earlier the 40s, the 30s, right. the 50s, and their families, community, and to go on retreat and to find that they are accepted, loved, redeemed. And the one man with Down syndrome, he said, my heart was burning in my chest. So much simplicity and power in that. But what Jean says that when he gives retreats, the question he always asks is, name your enemy. Name your enemy. Mm-hmm. And is it a person that we're jealous of? Is it a family member that you will not forgive? Is it a spirit of criticism? And how when Jesus comes to us, he said, love your enemies. And how that's such an extraordinary message. And through our wounds, sometimes we wound others. And so he Absolutely. Talks about that, and that we're called to reconciliation Absolutely. And healing and to be liberated from egoism and loneliness and hatred, which I thought was fantastic. So maybe you guys could talk a little bit about that. And then I know we need to wrap up already, unfortunately. I know, it's just getting started.
One of the things I say to women, those and I deal with women who are married and they have problems in marriage and stuff like that. You know, your fight is not against flesh and blood. Okay. You're fighting the wrong thing. You said the enemy. You need to know who the enemy is. Yes. You think the enemy is your husband. You think the enemy is your children. You think the enemy is your boss. No, the enemy is the enemy.
Right.
So learn how to fight him, not it.
Yes.
There's a difference.
Yeah. Now you're talking. Yeah.
You're fighting the wrong thing. You're putting all your energy over here because you're trying to get...
And he's a victim too.
Right.
Because the evil one
Come
is
on.
Going after him as
That's
much
right.
as going after you. And so
That's
if you
right.
can get you to destroy him,
That's right.
you're doing the same work.
That's right. And if you got a difficult child and you can't get him up in the morning, go to church on Sunday and all that kind of stuff, he's not the enemy. The enemy is using him to get to you so that you're frustrated by the time you get to church. It's all a part of it. So know who you're fighting. And it's not flesh and blood, Amen. Baby. It ain't flesh and blood.
Yeah. Any takeaways from that as well? Know your enemy.
Ephesians 6.
Yeah.
St. Paul says the same thing. Divine armor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And know your enemy. I think I would just encourage everybody.
What if someone says the enemy's me? I'm always.
Oh my gosh. That person clear the air because that's not it.
Thank you. You won't say please.
Can you be your own?
Right.
I'm always sabotaging things. I'm always failing. Right? I mean, and that goes back to not loving yourself, but thinking, I am my own worst enemy. I'm always messing it up, that sort of thing.
Well, you know, I hear that, but there's some self-pity or some victimization that's in all that language
right.
that you can come up with that in your brain that I'm my worst enemy. Come on.
Yeah.
If you were, you know what
good.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
It's kind of indulgent.
Yeah. Like people
pity
say,
party.
You know, I don't mean to be offensive to y'all on the air, but people say, you know, I can't forgive myself. Come on. Come on. Jesus died for you.
Yeah.
You're not all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He died for you.
Yeah.
So
well, and you shared
that,
a story about a Nazi commandant who was not beyond God's mercy. And anything that we could ever do.
And he had the courage, even though, I mean, again, he's despicable in his actions.
Right.
But he had the courage to man up at the end, admit what he had done, and ask for forgiveness.
That's right.
He didn't just sit there and say, and then killed himself, for example, which a lot of these people do.
Right.
That's not the response.
Victim. That's
Christ
being a victim.
Does not
right.
want
right.
you to, does not want to replace you. He wants to see you standing.
That's right. He wants to restore
mm-hmm.
you.
He wants to restore.
Yeah. Right.
He's already redeemed you.
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Huh?
I like that.
He wants to restore you. All you got to do is be in the right position.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. It's us.
Our final PSPS, and I know you have spiritual direction, we've got the program, but you tomorrow are going to talk a little bit about how to comfort. You said in your church, everyone gets fanned. Like, that's really going to help if you're crying. If you fan me, I'm not going to feel any better. And if you give me water, I'm not going to feel better. You know, sometimes you don't need to do anything. You just need to be with your sister or brother, your friend.
Why you want to rock me, burn me? I mean,
like that.
You know, just... Don't give me a tissue because that cuts the flow of my emotions. Let me cry.
And that the body needs that, you
and
said.
You need that. And don't choke your words down. You hear people start, no, let it flow up and out. Get it out. Talk about it. Frame it. Face it. If you don't face it, you can't fix it. Mm-hmm. It just always lies dormant. And then every once in a while, you know, the Bible talks about in Hebrews about a root of bitterness. And it says that it springs up, you know, like a water. You know, you go to the water fountain and you turn it on and it goes up in your nose, just kind of inadvertently springs up. Well, that's what bitterness does. It springs up because things lie dormant so long.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so I'm saying that we have to allow ourselves to feel what we feel. You feel it anyway.
Yep.
And let's deal with it.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I wish I was to be at your talk.
Well, see, this is why we're doing it. We can all enter in. And any final takeaways from you just about...
happy I am to meet the listeners. Mm. Brooke, it's great. You know, because the Padre in your pockets are great, but I'm always in the pocket.
You're full size in color. Yes, live. That's wonderful. Thank you. God bless you. And we are all soldiers in this spiritual battle. We are the church militant, and you two are the special forces. So I am so grateful, and I know our listeners are blessed to hear you. So thank you. God bless you.
All right.
Until next time, friends, God bless you, and we will catch you for our next Good Things Radio Arise recap. God bless you.
Thank you, Father Nathan, Linda. Wow. Did I tell you? Big time TV show, quality conversation there. We could call it Padre and the Pastor. I mean, just a lot of good insight there. Thank you again, Father Nathan Cromley and my friend, Pastor Linda Isaiah.
It's Brooks.
House.
It's Brooks.
House.
Okay, so come on in. We're back to the swing of things. Spring break is over. So we're back into the routine, making lunches, getting everybody up, making sure the laundry's clean. Their baseball started, so we got to get the pants cleaned. And also, I still have to unpack from my trip to Birmingham. Had the blessing, if you've heard the podcast, to go to Birmingham. It was a whirlwind to be on EWTN. And by the way, I have that posted. If you haven't seen it, if you are interested, that entire segment on brooktaylor.us. That's my website. Just click on St. Gabriel Media, that section. And you can see it with the At Home with Jim and Joy show. What a wonderful honor it was. And so many of you were awesome cheerleaders. And so just a big thank you for your encouragement along the way as well. And prepping for some events this weekend, two on Saturday. So if you are in Ohio, if you're listening, would love to see you at one of these. One will be Victory Life Church in Stowe, Saturday, April 29th. I'll be speaking there, a group of awesome women in a full lineup. And then running over in the afternoon to North Olmsted, Ohio, and that is North Olmsted Assembly. Wonderful event. The theme is It's a Jungle Out There. So the details are on my calendar at brooktaylor.us. I hope you can come to one, to both. It would be wonderful if you're in the area. Also, I think we're going to tackle this. This is a big conversation in Brooke's house now. Well, really Jim's house, but you know, it was the theme. But the family home discussion lately has been summer camps for the kids, trying to figure out if we can squeeze that in. It seems like everybody is in summer camps. And for us, it's been a budget thing, but really the kids need it and I need it. So I would love to know if you have any good suggestions. I think now, and maybe I'm a little bit behind the eight ball on this, it would be good to pool our resources. If you know of any great camps, in the midst of it all, though, I've been unpacking from the retreat, from Arise. So one of the things that I wanted to share with you is the goodie bags, because we're giving one away. And this giveaway is just one of several that will be coming up over the next several episodes as we celebrate and get ready for our big 100th show. So it is an attempt to thank you and to just offer our blessings for you being a blessing in the show, and in hope that you will continue to spread the word about Good Things Radio. So what we're going to do is this bag that was given to all the retreatants is this beautiful canvas gray kind of gunmetal color. And in the center is this white wreath, and it says, "Be still and know," Psalm 46:10. Inside, so not only are you going to receive the bag, this is what you're going to win in the giveaway, but inside is a book, and it's from Anne, our Dr. Anne team member. She gave it to all of the attendees. This is beautiful mercy, experiencing God's unconditional love so we can share it with others. Lots of fantastic contributors in this book. It's short stories, reflections from Father Michael Gately, Dr. Scott Hahn, Matthew Kelly, loaded with fantastic nuggets. And in addition to that, we're going to do this kind of quick because I want you to get this next item. It's wrapped in cellophane really beautifully from Walsh University. It is the May edition of the Magnificat Missalette, the magazine that will give you the readings, reflections, beautiful book. And inside is a luggage tag, really pretty, Our Lady, and then it has Walsh University on it. And then there is an image, beautiful image from Marie, and it is the Divine Mercy image. There's a holy card from Father Nathan. There's a holy card from Emily Jaminet and Michelle Fainley. There's also a really cool journal. It's a little journal with a pen that you get, and you can use it for anything. In the next episode, we're going to talk a little bit about a mass journal. I just started doing this, and it is phenomenal. I can't believe I didn't do it sooner. Maybe you've heard of this. It's from the Matthew Kelly Ministry, Dynamic Catholic. But Catherine, one of our listeners, gave this to me as a gift. I've used it every single mass since she gave this to me. And I'm thinking, how did I go so long in my life without this? So we're going to talk about that, but that's just a few things coming up. In order to win this, all you need to do is go to feedback@goodthingsradio.com, shoot us an email, let us know you want to win. And in the next episode, we will pull the name and announce the winner. But do it quickly, do it today, because the time is not going to be very long. We're going to announce that winner next week. Also, a few short notes before we wrap up. I just noticed when I went on the iTunes page, a lot of people at the retreat actually are new podcast listeners and haven't even subscribed. So here's what you do. If you're not already a subscriber, go to iTunes, hit subscribe. You can download the podcast app, but also please consider leaving a review. We have 5 stars on the show, but only like 50 reviews. So if you wouldn't mind, please be so kind and share others, let others know. Hopefully it's good what you think about the show. And also consider becoming a Podbean patron. Our very first ever Podbean patron supporter of the show, Georgia Jenny, was at the retreat giving, as she does so well, to everybody there, but just took me back to the blessing of community. And this community is because of the support that we've all been able to share, walk with one another, and who want to see it grow and continue to go. So if you go to podbean.com, just click on Good Things Radio and you can become a good friend of the show. You can do that by donating $1 a month, $20 a month. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. And also a big final thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio. Whether you are looking to record an album, start your own podcast, he can take care of any audio digital needs you have. Just visit cumminghomestudio.com. Reach out on Voxer. You can find me, Brooke Taylor, and the number one, like Stephanie did. Thank you, Stephanie. First time, you nailed it. And also our feedback@goodthingsradio.com and Facebook. Don't be a stranger. Reach out. And the more you interact, the richer and better the show is. So God bless you. Until next time, friends, when we talk about camp and mass journals and anything you want to talk about, we trust that you are in the strong palm of the hand of God. God bless you, friends.